beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. There in the shadows, a whisper of light, and the veil of darkness fell. The Word was, the Word is, the Word will be forever and ever. The Word was, the Word is, the Word will be forever and ever. There in the middle, the Word became flesh and glory down to dust. He traded the heavens to come wash our feet, living water here with us, all for the world we love. The Word was, the Word is, the Word will be forever and ever.
Kingdoms will crumble and riches will fade, but the Word of God will reign, and the Church of Christ will say, the Word was, the Word is, the Word will be forever and ever.
I have a taste of the Lord and see that He is good. And once you taste of Him, you'll never want anything else.
Right.
So it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. And really, really enjoyed yesterday. That's what Dan said. Now he's over with. You know, been a lot of stress. I know getting prepared for a wedding. And, you know how those things are. And I know when back when Anna and Jordan were married, how much the church was a big help. And,
yeah.
And so we've got Brother Dylan married off, and so we just appreciate the job Brother Daniel did yesterday with the wedding. I thought he did a good job myself. And so I told him, I said, I was just glad that he remembered to tell everybody to sit down. You know? So they didn't stand through the whole service, you know. But anyway, it was really good. And so we had some really, really nice looking groomsmen there yesterday too, didn't we?
Yes.
A whole bunch of them. And so just I thought they looked really sharp. And I learned something afterwards while they were up there trying to do that dancing. And I won't tell you what it is, but I learned something while I was watching the guys and the girls up there trying to follow the whatever the guy was saying. I couldn't understand it. But anyway, I think that's probably part of the whole thing is to make it funny.
Right.
But anyway, and so we just really appreciated that everybody showed up. I know Brother Daniel and family appreciated that.
Yeah.
And so just a couple of things. Just remember, the Bible study questions can be put in the offering plate back there as you come in, or you can put it in as the offering plate goes around. So you certainly want to do that. Also want to just let everybody know that the Wednesday night service for the next 2 weeks we're canceling, so we'll be having those. And also, I haven't got the details on it yet, but I'm planning a marriage enrichment weekend coming up here not too far off in the distance. Of course, it will depend on when I can get the speaker here. And so, you married couples and any that might be thinking they might be someday, just be thinking about that and just pray that the Lord will be a blessing in that. Amen. And so, let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We'll read from three different places in the Scripture. We'll start with 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's good to have two of my aunts here this morning. Amen. Brother Daniel, this is James' mother. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. This is Paul speaking. Remember, God sent Paul to the Gentiles to get a bride, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted with the simplicity that is in Christ. And then I want to go to the next place in the Scripture, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. She'll have that one on the screen also. Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The last place we want to read from is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 through 23. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not wittily, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we were just so thankful, Lord, to be able to come together, be here, and be in your presence, be with those of my precious faith. We are asking, Lord, that you'd speak to every heart. Lord, in this season, may they see again the great gift of God that was sent to us. And so, Lord, we just give this service in your hands now and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. And we love the Lord. There's no character, no man that had character like the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Nobody. That becomes more and more real to me every day. And so he, in this Christmas season, everybody thinking back of him coming 2,000 years ago, we appreciate that. But I believe if you would ask him, he would tell you what's more important to us is that we recognize his presence, his gift of his presence in among the church today. Because a lot of people know him 2,000 years ago as coming that way. But we have to know him today and what he is today. And so we thank the Lord for his presence and that character that he had in him that caused him to come down and live for his people the way he did. And I believe that God is looking for that same character again today.
Yep.
Look for that character in his church, yes. which in the church that has that, we know that would be his bride. Mm-hmm. And so today we're going to title this The Spirit of Adoption. And just a little subtitle, Believing the Simplicity of the Gospel from the Heart. Amen. You know, we live in an age of deception. As we know, the prophet told us, you know, years and years ago, people could live for the gospel and just by, you know, they'd be put to death for it.
Yeah.
But today is a deceptive day where people think they're Christians and they're not. And that's apparent to us because you have a whole world out there, it's huge, millions upon millions of people who identify as Christians, but their lives, they still live very, very negative lives in the light of the gospel. And so it is an age of deception. Something has caused them to have an empty confession to say that they are and not have the real thing there. And so we don't want to be guilty of that. We want to be sincere and serious and have a real experience in us that changes just so that our experience matches what the Bible says that our experience as a Christian should be. And so I believe that God has done something in our day and is in the process of doing something to restore a church back to his truth. And so as that song said, Brother Tim's song there, that in the end that we would be saying, hey, it's the word. Right, and that's what it is. It is the word of God because it's the only thing that will not pass away is his word. And so I believe it would be a restored church and that would be a bride. And so we read in the scripture there that Apostle Paul warns us about that there is a simplicity in the gospel, and he warns us about being corrupted and the of the simplicity of the gospel. And so he was warning us there that someone could come along and teach or preach something that's contrary to the gospel, and it would cause a corruption to set in where people would not understand the simplicity of the gospel. I believe the gospel is simple enough that a person that doesn't know the difference between right hand and left hand can be saved, can be part of the bride, right? And so, but you know, when the devil gets in there, the scriptures let us know God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
So you know, when something gets there and confuses it and makes it where people loses and misses out on the simplicity of the gospel, how simple it is for a person to find God. And so Satan wants to get in there and confuse that and make it to where people just don't get to God. He doesn't mind if they go, like the scripture said, there's broad is the way. Right, there's just all kinds of directions that go to destruction. Satan don't care what direction you go out there, as long as you're not that narrow way that leads to life. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of ways, and so he just wants you to people to be confused and get to the place where they just don't know what to believe. I was listening to a sermon this morning, and that's what has happened. There's been so many failures and so many false things that people got to the place where people don't know what to believe.
That's right.
And so. But there is a simplicity in the gospel, and it is, it's simple that we all came here born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came here with a fallen nature, and we needed a Savior. That's simple, right? And so we have to be born again. We have to have something happen that changes our heart so that we're not like we were born.
Yeah. Right.
So we have a desire for things of God rather than the things of the world. That's pretty simple. And so we understand that when Jesus died and went to heaven, he came back in the form of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. That's why it's called a ghost, because a ghost is the spirit of a dead man, right? He's not dead, but that's why it's identified as ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the spirit that was in Christ Jesus,
right?
And so he comes back, and that Holy Ghost is that new nature that we must be born by. That's our new birth. So that now what's in us is the same nature that was in him. What's in us now as born again people is the same nature that caused him to walk in obedience and be a sacrifice for us.
Right.
That's the same life. The same life that caused him to overcome is now he sent it back in. That's the gift. That's our Christmas. That's the gift that he has today that has come back into us to make us be able to live a surrendered life to the Father like he did. Right? And so that's what it is. Simple, real simple. We need his life in us or we're failures.
Right.
Right? And we are in ourselves, we are. But thank God he has given the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's available for all of us.
Right.
All of us who repent. And so, but when that Holy Spirit comes in, it agrees with God's word. Because there's so many people say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost, and they might speak in tongues and do all kinds of stuff, but they live contrary to the Bible. And if the Holy Spirit comes in, won't it cause you to live the same way?
Right.
A righteous life.
Amen.
Right? And so, it'll come into us and it'll lead us. The scripture tells us the Spirit of Truth, it's the same thing, Holy Ghost, Spirit of Truth, Comforter, different names for it. But it'll agree with God's word, and it will lead us and guide us into all truth.
Right.
So if there's something we need for this day, he will bring us to that. Mm-hmm. And it'll cause us to believe the truth, and it'll cause us to live the truth.
Right.
Amen. So it's pretty simple. The gospel works if people would just surrender to it. It will produce in your life what it said it would do. And so... But it's when other teachings come in and all, you know, brings a confusion and make it into something that it's really not. But see, there's only one way, and that's to get back to the Word.
Right.
Remember we talked the other day about whenever they came out of the Garden of Eden, they all believed in one God, and they went off and began to create all kinds of other religions, different multiple gods. They left truth and became Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Confusion. And the only way to get out of Babylon is to go back to the Word. Amen?
Yeah.
So, this gospel works. So, the scripture tells us that we have received the spirit of adoption. Anyway, we're going to win.
Amen.
We're going to win.
That's
We have received the spirit of adoption. Now, just for the moment, just to let me describe, most of you know what the Bible adoption is. Bible adoption, you know, we have a terminology of adoption where in a family, we go out and find someone else who needs a parent, so needs a family, and we'll bring them in and adopt them and make someone who's not part of the family make them part of the family. Right. And you can, you know, financially support them or whatever, but they're not your blood. Mm-hmm. Right? They're not blood.
Right.
And they're not your genetic type. But Bible adoption is not like that. Bible adoption is just simply where you have a son who's born in a family. He's the firstborn. He's going to be receive the inheritance of the father's place. And so he is a son.
Yeah. Right.
And because he is a son, then the father opens up this process of adoption where he provides tutors and teachers and governors, as we just read, until that child comes to the place where he's mature enough that he can now start operating in the father's business.
Right.
Where, as the prophet said, where he can now start signing checks. Mm-hmm. And I've said in the past that it's such that he grows up and he gets to the place where he's so that the father says, you know what, he's ready. And we know in the scriptures the adoption ceremony was where the father would take a son and put him up in a high place and put a white robe on him and say, this is my son, you know, hear ye him, he's now can write checks. And as I've said in the past, then the father can turn around and walk away and never worry about whether or not that son is taking care of the farm or not. Mm-hmm. Well, he don't have to worry about it. Now, you have to realize, because it's the Father who is instituting this plan of adoption. And since we're talking about God, when God is bringing us to the place where he can give us something, where he can do something in our lives where he won't have to worry about it no more, and neither will you.
Right.
Get to a place where you won't even have to question. And so he brings them to this adoption ceremony. We see that Jesus went through that when he was on Mount Transfiguration. This is my son, he had a white robe and so forth. And so the prophet tells us that was God doing a prefigure, like you would have a movie that's going to be released. And a few people would get to see that movie ahead of time as a pre-release before the public does. And he said that's what happened then, was Jesus there on Mount Transfiguration, and there were some disciples there with him. And that was a pre showing of what God was going to do at the end with all the sons of God who come to adoption at the end.
Yeah.
Right? Now that adoption has to come before it actually ends up with our body change.
Yeah.
So if we believe we're at a time where rapture is about to happen, then full adoption process has to have full place in all of his children.
Right.
And sons, we say sons, and that's your daughters too. And so that is Bible adoption, is where you are a son, but you come to the place in maturity where the father now can give you some, and now you can do things a father would do.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus was here, Jesus was walking this what we're talking about. He was walking on this earth, and at some point he finally got to the place where they had that Mount Transfiguration, and then Jesus could say, all power in heaven and earth is given to me.
Right?
See, he had come to that place where he grew. He was born as a child, but he grew and he grew and with favor in God and with men. And finally, through all of his obedience, learning obedience by the things he suffered, he finally came to the place where God put all power in heaven and earth into him. Right? And so if the Father was somewhere, he wouldn't have any power because he'd done give it to the Son. So you understand that if you had a farm and your son would come to the place where you could trust him, you could give him the checkbook and you could say, take care of this, and you could go on vacation for a month and never have to call and never worry and not sweat about it, because you know that son has come to that place where he's got the same character in him as you have.
Right.
And that's the whole process that we're talking about here. And so the spirit of adoption, the scripture tells us that we have received the spirit of adoption. And when you receive the spirit of something, you're receiving the anointing to cause you to do what it's the spirit of.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's the spirit of adoption. So it is the spirit that comes upon you and causes you to act out your part as a son to come to adoption.
Yeah.
So when that spirit comes upon you, it'll cause you to be under God's tutors and under God's governors and under his leadership and learning and growing until finally the tutors can go back to the Father and say, hey, he's just like you. He's ready. So if the spirit, and so that spirit of adoption is none other than the spirit of his son, spirit of Christ. But when that spirit comes upon you, it changes you. When it comes upon it, on you, it now is it begins to make you to live out a life of obedience to the word. But you have to realize that we all want a body change. We all want to come, but that's the route, is to receive that into your life and let that have the preeminence in your life so that you learn and you grow and each day you're getting better and stronger and you can defeat more enemies and you can get through trials with less whimpering.
Right.
That you know, and so that's what the spirit of adoption does, is it makes us stronger Christians, stronger and stronger and stronger until we finally come to full stature. Equal with him in such that he can now give to us something and, as it were, could walk away and just let us have it. And, you know, the scripture tell us that he put apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers into the church until the church grows up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. So there you have it again. This church world is not, I'm talking about God's church, these people, they're not going out with a dud. They're victorious people.
Amen.
Whatever it is they go through, they're victorious.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. And so, it is the spirit of his son, and because it is the spirit of his son, when it comes upon you, it causes you to realize you're a son of God. And it causes you to cry out, Abba, Father. It causes you to begin to interact with your heavenly Father like a son would with his father. And sons, unless they get corrupted by something, sons want to please their father.
Yep.
Sons want to be like their father.
Right.
Every son that comes into the world, unless he gets nowadays corrupted at a very early age, but a child, when they're born, a boy, he automatically looks up and he wants to be like dad. He wants to be strong like dad. And he wants to be smart like dad.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's just natural. And so so dads have a big path to walk there for their sons to watch and their children to watch there. And so they want to be, they admire their father, they want to be like him. They want his strength, they want his wisdom, and They want the freedoms that he had. You know, that young person getting to become a teenager and so forth, and they begin to think they got it, what it takes, and I can do my own thing, and I can have the keys to the car and stuff. And you know they don't yet.
Right.
But they think they do. Right? We've all seen that as parents.
Right.
It's that way, and you just have to understand they're at that age, but you can't just let them go hog wild. You know, they just... that has nothing to do with Arkansas Razorbacks. But you just can't let them just go. You have to be, and tutor them and so forth. And if they mature properly, then they can begin to have some authority. Now, okay, now I'll take the car, go down to the, to the grocery store and back, and they grow. So we understand that. Same way with God's kingdom.
Right.
The more he can trust you, the more he can put in it, the more he can do through you.
That's right.
Right? And so... son wants to be like his father in strength and wisdom, and children probably want their dad's money. They see his dad, because kids are, they want things or whatever, and they see dad can pull out his wallet and pay for something or whatever, and kids they think, oh, that's good, and they want old man money. I heard here recently that some people in this assembly have old man money. Well, old man money is just simply, it doesn't come easy.
Right.
Us older guys, we've lived many years, and there's been thousands of risings and settings of the sun, and many years of summer, winter, fall, and spring, and many trials, and many days going to work, and You know, it takes a while to establish something. And, you know, kids nowadays, they want things right quick. But they don't realize it takes a long time to build up, to have a house, to build up a place where you can have some money in your wallet. I was thinking this morning, and when I was typing these notes up, I was thinking about my uncle, Arnold, which I didn't know that, but his wife is here today. But I was thinking about him, and as a kid, I remember seeing him, and he had this real deep voice. I mean, he could sing bass. I'm sure I never heard him, but I guarantee he could do it. But he had this gigantic wallet. It was one of those big long ones. It stuck way up out of his pocket. And it was, in my memory, it was always full of pretty good sized money. I remember that. See, she's shaking her head. It was a lot of money in there. And he had a chain, and I was thinking, he has to have a chain on that because there's so much money in there. Somebody's going to try to take it, and it sticks wet. And so anyway, I was thinking about that. It was old man money, I guess, you know. But a child wants the power and all the freedoms, and, oh, look at Dad, and he can do whatever. And we know this about the story about the eagles, that the little eagle in the nest, and it's coming time that eagle needs to get out of the nest, and so the Mama Eagle or Papa Eagle, whichever one does it, you know, comes up there and they begin to flap the wings, and that little one's just, oh my, just because you want to be like your parents,
right?
That's a God thing,
yeah.
Right? That is a God thing, and so that's natural. But kids have to understand it takes a long time to establish something like that, but I'll say this: what? The kind of decisions of life and the kinds of things that Dad and Mom have been through and the decisions that they've made that has made them successful, the decisions they made that allow them to get some assets, to have a home and to have a vehicle or vehicles and to be established, the decisions they've made throughout the years that was successful to provide that for them, those same types of decisions being made right will work for the child. Right? So it's important that the child learns. And so I would say this, that the kind of decisions Jesus made when he was confronted with opposition and so forth, those that same kind of discipline to the Father and to the Word that made him successful for God's plan for him to save us, that same discipline will work for us.
Right?
Right? It doesn't mean that like Brother Matthew's a plumber. That doesn't mean his sons have to be plumbers. They can be if they want to. But there's a discipline about Brother Matthew to get up and work and to provide and those things like it is with all good brothers at work and so forth. You know, there's patterns there, and they work. And as that child grows up and will learn those things, it'll work for them too.
That's right.
Right? It takes time. And so anyway, what works for Dad will work for them. And so in this topic about adoption, there's two parts to the adoption. And the first part is just simply realizing you're a son of God and letting him tutor you and teach you through the different things. And we know the prophet, he likened the Holy Spirit to the tutor that would try and teach and go back to the Father and say, no, he's not ready yet, and so forth. But the truth of it is God has control of all things in your life. And he can tutor you and train you and teach you through anything.
That's right.
Anything he wants, right? But as he does it, it's always going to line up with his word. The outcome he's trying to make in your life will always be in agreement with the word, because if it wasn't, his house would be divided.
That's right.
And so we know that. And so the first part is just to realize, know that you're a son of God, and then to grow in those things. And then part two is to be placed into authority. That's when we say adoption. We're going to have an adoption ceremony. It just simply means the child is now ready to have authority. And he has a ceremony where he makes that child, adopts him into authority. That's what it is. So it's two parts. Just, you know, realizing you're a son of God and buckle down under that first part and learn and grow that character. And then once you reach the place where the Father has total confidence in you, then he adopts you, puts you into power. And that's part two. And so, which is the placing. And so it's like a Joshua, you know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there was two parts there, to come out,
right,
but you got to go in.
Right.
Right? And so there's so many people, and I'll say it this way, Satan don't mind if you're going to come out. He don't want you going in.
Right.
Right? You can come out of a lot of things. You can stop drinking, smoking. You can do. You can have a sanctified life. But if that Holy Ghost never comes in,
right,
you're not moving on in.
Right?
Right?
That's right.
See, because the Scripture tells us if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are none of His.
Right.
Right? So that is the new birth,
right,
the life of Christ coming in. And so it's just like it was there in Joshua, and so. To come to the place where the Father can trust you and he knows that you have the character. And so, but you know, I remember in the Scriptures there where Abraham was up on top of the mountain. He was going to sacrifice his son. And he raises up and he's going to kill his son. And the angel of the Lord stops and says, don't do it. Don't hurt the child. And he says, now I know. God's saying this, right, through this. Now I know, Abraham, now I know that you'll do what's right, you'll train, and, you know. And I thought, you mean God didn't know? And we know that God does know.
Right.
Right? And so you have to come down and realize, well, then what was that all about? And what it was about was we have to act out, and we have to come to the place where we know. We are fleshing out, and so God knows what's in you,
right?
Right? He knows the point that you in your life where he can trust you. He knows what he can trust you with and what he can't trust you with.
Right. Yeah.
And it is a cycle. It's a growing cycle. It's not like the child would never have any authority on anything at all, and all of a sudden one day, boom, he's got everything.
Right.
No, he lets you have, and you do, and you got to be faithful with the things he does give you. And as you grow in that, then you get more. And so he knows where you're at. He knows what point. But the question is, do you know?
Yep.
Do you know what he can trust you with?
Mm-hmm.
See? And so as you go through life and you go through trials and these outcomes and all that, and you make mistakes and you redo it over and you grow, you get stronger, and next time you don't fall for that trap anymore. See, you're learning. You're coming to know. And that's all it is. When a child comes to adoption, he doesn't know what day that is that the father's going to say, okay, that's it.
Yep.
He has no clue. That's all totally up to the Father according to Scriptures.
Yep.
Right? But at some point when that happens, he knows.
Yep.
The Son knows now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Son knows when the Father has given him authority to take the keys and drive down the store and get something for supper or whatever. He knows. Right? So you have to understand that our walk in this life and what God will do through our lives, and it's a revelation that comes to us.
Yeah.
Right.
That we know and begin to grow in the things of God. And so then it's us. And so the question is, do we know?
Right.
Everybody wants to have part two. Everybody wants to have the authority, and they, you know. But nobody wants to go through part one, the learning and differing nothing from a servant out here in the field, even though you're a child of the King. And so the Spirit of adoption causes us, when it comes into us, the Spirit of adoption causes us to want to be obedient to the Father. And so it's not, the Spirit of adoption is not interested in disobeying the Father or changing the Father's will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not interested in disagreeing with the Father's will. The Spirit of adoption that comes upon you will cause you to want to please your Father, to want to be like Him,
right,
to want to grow up and become wise like Him and have those things. That's natural. And so that's the Spirit of adoption. It causes you to believe from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
these things. And I say that, and that's the simplicity of it. That's the simplicity of the whole thing, is that just simply the Spirit of God will come into your heart and change you, and you'll walk the rest of your life trying to please your Heavenly Father.
Right.
That's it. It's simple. The gospel's not complicated.
Right.
And so this topic of adoption, you know, goes right hand in hand with law and grace. You know, we read scriptures, and if we live, you know, the scripture tells us that if you try to live the law and you try to please God living the law, you're done for, because no one can do it. Only Christ can live it.
Yeah.
Right? And so what you have to understand, the law is for the disobedient. Right? The scripture tells us law is there for, because so you take someone who's not breaking the speed limit or something like that, not going out and killing somebody, the law that says don't speed or don't kill, don't touch that person because they're not guilty of it. That law has no jurisdiction over them because they're not doing those things. But if they are doing those things, then they're living under the law, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to understand is that to be righteous before God is a requirement, but the way to get right, become righteous before God so that he accepts you is not through works, and it's not through the law, because you can't keep the law. You fail at every point, the scripture says. So you can't get there by trying to perform well. The only way you can get there is through grace, through faith, through grace of the Spirit of God coming in you and letting him act out through you. And you stand in a position of righteousness by faith, not based on works, but based on the grace of God. You stand, and now you can fulfill the righteousness of the law by being in Christ Jesus. That's the way to do it. We have a world that's full of people who call themselves Christians, but they don't have the indwelling of the Spirit, and so all they are is religious, and they're trying to serve God by legalism, and they're doing things that they're supposed to do right, and yet it's not from the heart.
Right.
The spirit of adoption, when it comes in, is from the heart.
Right.
So people can live, and this was, you know, one of the things that Brother Branham fought so much in his whole entire ministry, was trying to get people to understand, just because you go to church doesn't mean you've reached that place. Not because you pay tithes and you sing in the choir and all. You can have all that and still be lost.
Right.
The thing is, you've got to have that nature in the heart that changes you. And without that, but yet Satan has created a religious world where people's doing all this stuff that looks right and religious and all that, and yet you can tell the Spirit of Christ is not there, even though they're going through all the motions.
Right.
And so it causes you to believe from the heart. That's the simplicity of it. And so this adoption, when it comes in, it will cause you to live by faith based upon the grace of God. And not looking for ways to bypass God's will. Not trying to figure out a way to say, well, I don't want to do that, so I'll do something else or whatever. And so righteousness comes by faith through grace. And so if we live after the law, we don't have the spirit of adoption in us, the spirit of Christ in us. And so the only thing we can do is live after the law. If you're going to live a Christian life and try to, the only thing, you're just going to be doing it by law, and it's a dead end. And so, but if that's what we do, if we are religious and we're trying to live a religious Christian life without the Holy Spirit, without the spirit of adoption, then here's what we're going to do. And this is what we see in the world. We see it in the Bible. So if that's what's happening, then we will take the very laws that we claim we're living by, and we will pervert them. And so we will pervert them, and we'll use the law to justify ways for us not to keep the law. You can read it in Romans right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, you that teach people not to commit adultery, do you go, right? Remember that? Reading that? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, we know all about them, and we'll talk about them in a little bit here. And so, if you're living a religious life without the true spirit of Christ in you, you're just going through the motions.
Right.
You're trying to please God from an outward thing, from outward constraints, rather than something in you that loves Him.
Right.
See, it's a love test. You have to love God and His Word, and if you don't have that love burning in your heart, as even the song there a while ago, speaking of that, from the heart, and even Brother Daniel, something, opening prayer about sons of God and to our Father. Remember that? See, if you don't have that, then the only thing you can do is try to please God through a bunch of works and things, and you'll try to do what's right, but you realize you're going to fail somewhere in it. So if you believe, oh yeah, we got to pay tithes, at some point you won't. Or if you got to be in church, you won't. If you got to act a certain, you won't. At some point you fall short, see? Because that's not where the victory is. The victory is not through trying it in yourself. The victory is believing God such that the Spirit of Christ comes in and you're free from all that. That law can't touch you because you're under grace.
Right,
and now you have a life in you that doesn't want to do those things.
Right.
That's the difference. And so, Dale, you know, you like that, you pervert the law and use the law to make up excuses why you can't keep it. Remember the woman caught in adultery?
Mm-hmm.
Remember they caught this woman in adultery and they came and they threw her at the feet of Jesus and they said, you know, hey, she should be stoned. You know, what do you say? Well, here's the religious leaders. They're supposed to represent what's right, right? They're representing the law. Where was the man that she was caught with? Because they said she was caught in adultery in the very act. So the man was there too. Why didn't they bring the man?
Right.
And I'm just showing you that because if you try to act out and, oh, I'm so righteous and I always cross every T and dot every I and I don't make mistakes, you are headed for a fall. Because that's not where it is. And you're looking down on somebody, yeah, you're not. Yeah. That is not it at all. We are to live by grace,
right,
through
right,
faith, loving, forgiving, yeah, helping,
yeah,
one another.
Right, that's right.
That's where it lays.
Right.
And so they caught that woman in adultery, and the law was not fair. It's not that the law is problem. The law is perfect. But when we take it and we try to administer it, it's wrong. We divvy it out wrong. It's like the message. There's nothing wrong with the message, but people have taken it and they try to administer it without true Holy Spirit in their life, and look what you get.
Right.
And it failures and causes all kinds of doubt and questioning. If it's just lived right and done right, there wouldn't be that kind of thing. But that's what they do, and it's in the Bible. This is what the Pharisees and Sadducees did. And the people, they were bound down underneath those religious systems, but they didn't believe it. A lot of them, they knew there wasn't. I mean, this man speaks with authority. He don't speak like the Pharisees.
Right.
That's what the Scripture says. The people knew that there was something real in Christ, in Jesus and his apostles, and they knew it wasn't in over there in that other bunch.
Right.
And yet the other bunch was the religious leaders of the world. So, the people who live by law, which genders to sin and the flesh, it fails.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we want to live by the law, then what we do is we bring bondage. Not only to ourselves, but we bring bondage to everybody around us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We bring bondage to others, trying to bring them to our way of thinking. And which our way of thinking, if we're like that, is a perverted form.
Mm-hmm.
It's not truth.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I gave her these scriptures. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 9. We'll pull that up. I'm going to give you some, just read some examples here. Apologize for not giving those to her. Matthew 15, 1 through 9. These things matter. These are the teachings, the core teachings of Jesus. Verses 1 through 9. Then came Jesus to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions?
Mm-hmm.
For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whatsoever or whosoever shall say to his father and his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So people, if it's not the word of God and you're trying to live something, you're trying to make it, you press, get people and you get them, oh, it's required. And here they were, oh, you got to wash your hands before you eat and all these different things. See, it's a perverted thing.
Right.
Ye hypocrites, Jesus said. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth. Now, hear what I'm saying. They draw nigh from their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me. When we worship that way, it is vain to worship God without a born-again experience.
Right.
But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men, because that's exactly what they do. If you don't have Christ, that's exactly where it goes.
Right.
Start putting man's ideas in there. The next place is chapter 23, verse 1 through 15. Matthew 23, verse 1 through 15. This is the stuff Jesus was hitting head to head with the religious system of his day. Because he knew that that system would never allow those people to get an indwelling of his spirit. That's why. And then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Oath therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. Think about it. They are in the right position. They are there, and he's saying, hey, the teachings is coming from the law. That right, but don't you do like they do, because they've perverted it. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. You see that? People so harsh on someone who's having a struggle. Somebody's having a struggle at church or wherever, and they're struggling, and people, all they want to do is condemn. How about going and lifting a finger to help them?
Right.
Right.
Right? How about spending some time on prayer, in prayer for them?
Yeah.
Right? But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the greetings in their marketplace, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be what? Servant. Great men in God's economy are servants. Right? So, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against man. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves. Right? This is just, and those teachings of Jesus all over the place. So you see what he's showing there. Because religious systems without the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what they do. And you'll bring people in and bind them down, and it will be bondage to them. There's no freedom in it. That's what is what it is. And so, but a child who has entered in, the spirit of adoption has come into him. He's not trying to serve God that way.
Right.
He has a life in him that loves God, loves God's word, wants to please God, and is not looking for ways to use the word to circumvent why he's not living the word. Right? Amen. So, a religious person without the Holy Ghost can only live by the law and under the law, and they'll do right things, but not from the heart.
Right.
They do it all the time. This is, you know, you say, well, Brother Tony, this is monumental. Because without the Spirit of Christ, that's all that is religion.
Right.
And if we, you know, people can come to church, they can do right things, come to church, pay tithes, read your Bible, pray. But if it's not from the heart, it's in vain.
Right.
And if it's not from the heart, then those things at some point will become an inconvenience to them.
Right.
Coming to church, paying tithes, reading your Bible, pray. That's the big one. Reading your Bible and praying every day. Those things will just become inconvenient to you because you don't have the spirit of it, the love of it in your heart, right? Because the son loves his father.
Right.
And the father loves the son, and the father is responsible to bring that child to adoption.
Yeah.
See? So people can do all those things, but it becomes an inconvenient. And so that's why the prophet said, hey, when the church doors are open, if you're really, really right in your heart, when the church doors are open, you want to be there. Now, I'm not speaking to those who live far away. I understand, but we're just in general because you look out and you know as a minister of the gospel, we're responsible, and you want people to have that real experience in there. And we are fruit inspectors,
right.
So you see that. And so living by law, you know, people take and try to justify not living the things that they should when they have the spirit of adoption. Doesn't try that. It's not to say that things doesn't come along and make it hard for you. There are things come along, you know, that make it hard for you to, you know, be in church every service. Sometimes it's your job, sometimes it's sickness. That's fine. We understand that. But the question is, for each one of us to search your heart and say, am I doing what I'm doing from the heart? Am I serving God from the heart, or am I just going through the motions because I have an outward constraint that is causing me to do that? Am I coming to church because my parents come to this church? Am I doing it because I have to? Or you understand what? If it's anything other than, hey, something's happening to me and I want to do this, I want to be in the presence of God's word and in church and serving him. See? Really laying that over and over so you understand. And so there are things that come along. And so we understand that. But do you want to? Do you want to serve God? And if it's right, then it's never a grudge. If we serve God from our heart, it's never a grudge. Even when you go through hard things, there's never a grudge. You know, you can go through things and make you get to the place where you get angry at God because he's taken something from you or he's done something that you don't agree, that you don't understand. You have to understand, be still and know that he's God. He knows what he's doing. And if you're going through something, it's for your better.
Right.
It requires faith to believe that. That's the only thing you can do. Just believe it. Because we're here in this world of oppositions. And that's the test. That's the trying. And so we understand that. But if our heart is right with God in these things, and we have a spirit of adoption, then we're not going to have a grudge because we're having work out in the field just like the other servants do. Because you understand, hey, why am I out here? My dad owns the place. Why is he making me out here work like? You understand? Well, you're doing it because the Father wants to make sure you understand. Right? You understand what it's like. Jesus understands what it's like to be tested and tried like we were.
Right.
Amen. So, I'm going to go really fast here, because I don't want to keep you much longer. And so, if it's from the heart, if it's not from the heart, it doesn't count yet, because it's not adoption material. God can't, he can't take you to adoption if you don't really love him from your heart.
Right.
See? And that's the thing I want us to really understand. It must be. We cannot just be going through the motion because of some constraint outside that says we need to do it. Or I gotta do it, look the part. You Pharisees, man, they did that. They looked good. They did all those things, but it was in vain. Jesus said, I'm not giving you a doctrine that's not Bible. It's Bible. And so, I want to believe from the heart. And so, if you don't, then it's not adoption material. You're still growing. It doesn't mean you're not a child. It just means you're still growing.
Right.
But the spirit of adoption brings you to adoption. It brings you to that place. You know, it brings you to a place of maturity. And maturity, being mature is having the power. It's being able to have power over others, but never using that power to elevate yourself, but rather using that power to help those that you are over.
Right.
That's it. You know, children want to come. Oh, I'm an adult. You're not. No, you're not. Because when you get older and you want to get married, now you're responsible for somebody else, and you're going to have children, and you're responsible for them. So you have to have the character that, hey, you got to buckle down, and whatever it takes, you got to work hard to provide for that family and for those children. You've got to do that if it's done right. And so it's just a natural form of what this gospel is. So it brings you to adoption. And so maturity is having the ability, having power that could be used over others, but not to use it for yourself, but to use it to help others.
Right.
And to build up others, especially those that you have authority over. Men want to be, they want to be a supervisor at work so they can have authority over everybody. Mm-hmm. But if you just stand back and you're just barking out commands or whatever and you're doing nothing, you don't have their heart.
Right.
You might physically be their supervisor, but you're not their supervisor to them, because people need to see examples. That makes the difference when they can see example. They see somebody that's sturdy, somebody that doesn't move, somebody that holds to it. See, that's what people need. And they need to see somebody who is suffering for them. Right? That's what they need to see. So a man with character, he will never use his power to show off. He'll never use his power for vengeance. These are core things of the nature of Christ, right? God tells us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll do the repaying, mm-hmm. Right? So, he'll never use his power to show off or for vengeance, and he'll never use his power to seek to exercise his power discreetly. He will do what he can and try to do it quietly and behind the scenes, and so people don't see it or whatever. And Jesus did that. He healed. Shh, don't tell nobody. The scripture said, you know, you won't hear his voice in the street crying out, right? You know how the scriptures talk about. And so he sought to just be, you know, do his job without looking for a great recognition. And so, a true king will serve his people. And by serving his people, will become their king. Right? Because they see him giving his life for them. But we got it all mixed up. Now you have all these politicians and everything, and they're not living up there for the people. They're living up there to take the power that's given them from the people to better themselves and to lock themselves in positions of power and authority at the expense of the very people who's trying to trust them.
Right.
This is what this religious system had done. The people trying to believe them, and they used that position of power and authority in the Pharisees and Sadducees to bind the people down to maintain their position of authority. Because when something comes along to question it, they'll say, you know what, we got to stop that man, because if we don't, the Romans are going to come and take everything from us. Right? Because when it's not really of God, then they got to protect it. But if it's of God, you don't have to protect it. It's life. It can't be killed. It can't be snuffed. Doesn't mean it won't go through trials. Doesn't even mean it wouldn't be martyred at some point. But you can't snuff it out, see? But if it's not by Holy Spirit, what you do in your office, not by Holy Spirit guidance, it's under the law. It's going to have issues. Right? God just wants us to approach everything by faith, through grace, seeking to please our Father in everything we do. That's what he's looking for. So a true king will serve his people, and then because of that, they will see him and honor him as their king. If you look at Herod, what he did, it's Christmas time, all right? Look what Herod did. When the threat came up that there was a possibility of another king, what did he do? You think walking, trying to build yourself up and use your power to keep yourself how far it could go? Look what he did. He sent the soldiers out to kill babies just to try and keep his position. That's how bad it can be. And so, what if Herod would have, a king, the Messiah? What if he would use all his forces to go out there and secure that and protect that and bring Jesus forward so he could be king? It'd be a different story, wouldn't it? It'd be totally different. But you see, it has to be featured, because in that you can see the difference between God and Satan. And Satan uses power to bring a deception, but God used his power to save people.
Right.
Right. Amen? That's the two differences there. And so when people reach part two, that placing of sons into authority, that is our body change. And after our body change, we're not going to have any issues.
Right.
See, it's all over then, right? There won't be any struggles then. But this side of body change, we will have continual, we are in training still. We are in tutoring still, and it's testings and it's tryings. This side, that's what it is. And it's on this side, it's always going to be, we have the commission to be like Father. We have that commission, but it will always be on this side. It will always be in the presence of opposition and conditions that are not ideal for you to do what God has told you to do.
Yeah.
God has commissioned us to be like our Father, but it's his will that these oppositions are there that we have to fight against. We have to fight against these things that are to be what God wants us to be. That's the fight.
Right.
We spend all our time wanting, but that's the fight. Our job is to get up every day and fight for the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Fight every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll always have those things. We'll always have issues that's against us. But during all that, what power God does give us, what abilities God does give us, authority, whatever, we'll never use that. And catch this. You'll never use that to reduce the trial that you're going through. But you'll use that to endure the trial for others.
Right.
That's looking Calvary right in the face. That, to me, is maturity level for adoption.
Right.
Amen. Of course, we're not the ones to say when our body change comes. We're not the ones to say when we come to that adoption. We have phases and stages that we do have something to do with, but we don't know when that's happening. But our Father does, and when he does it, we'll know then. Right? We will know then. Amen. You see our governments and the things there, people out, like I said, they're out there politics, trying to convince the people that they're going to do something for the people, where behind the scenes what they're doing is getting more power and riches to themselves at the expense of the people they're supposed to be helping. And they lie to do it, and if they have to, which they do this quite often too, they'll create circumstances that will force the people to have to choose what they're offering. They'll create a problem and provide a solution. And in doing that, heap the people under themselves with less rights, but they have more authority. That's what they do.
Right.
This is Satan working in governments doing that. There's few in leadership who have the character to actually live and use their position to help those people that they're over and are willing to suffer for it. See, I'm not trying, you might be thinking about political president and all that. I will say to you that the things that go on in this world, God has things happen so you'll catch it. So it's not to say that there's a man that's righteous or nothing like that, but a pattern that why do people go to that man? Because he suffered and suffered financially and everything in the world, drug through the mud because he's trying to stand for people. This is what Jesus did. They drug him through everything because he was literally one who was really there to be king, to live for the people. Everything he was about was for his people.
Right.
And he was willing to suffer for it. And people will rally to something like that.
Right.
And it's the same thing. And so when God is looking for character in his people, you want to live a life, we want our families and our loved ones saved and all that, live in such a way where they can see that. Where they can see that character. And that only comes from the spirit of adoption moving your life in that direction. That's where that comes from. Amen. If you remember, in science they have this saying or whatever it says, that power cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only change forms. Well, you know, with God, he's not limited to that. God can do whatever he wants. But outside of creative power, outside of God, when it's pertaining to man, if you wind up with a bunch of power, it's because you've taken it from somebody else. So anytime you have politicians, leaders, church leaders, whatever, they heap to themselves greater power and greater riches and all that, somebody has suffered because of that. And I'm telling you, the way it should be the other way around. Leaders should give their lives for the people. No greater love than man can have, but that he give his life for his friends, for those he loves, for people. Right? So this is the teaching of Jesus saying, if you exalt yourself, you will be brought down.
Right.
If you try to use the talents and the gifts that you have to build up your own kingdom, you're going down. But if you'll take the talents that God has given, it's what the parable of the talents are. You take what God has given you and you use that to bring more to him. You'll be exalted. Right? If you use your resource, if you use your talents, this is why you might be a carpenter, you might be a plumber, you might be an electrician, you might be a good cook, we got a bunch of those. Whatever you are, God has not called you to be something you're not. He's not calling you to serve him with something he's not gifted you with. But if he has gifted you with natural abilities, serve him with those natural abilities. These sisters do a great job with that. They're good cooks, and they serve the body of Christ with good food, right? But whatever it is, if you got a skill, if you got an ability, if you have a knack for doing things, if you do, God wants you to use it for him. And as you do that for him, you're increasing his kingdom.
Okay.
Is it always easy? No, it is a burden to bear. Or it wouldn't be a trial. There would be no learning if it wasn't that way. And so use your talents for God. Amen? And if you do, he'll exalt you. There is a way to rise higher. It is down, not up.
Right.
That's the teaching. Boy, that's a hard one for us to get. Really? But Jesus expressed it very well. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Why? Because he humbled himself. Became obedient.
Right.
The way up is down.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to exalt ourselves. We just want to take what God has given to us and use it. You know, in the Bible, I think Dorcas was her name. She died or whatever, and they called Peter or the disciples, whichever one it was, in there. And they come in and they were showing she could make a lot of garments or whatever, and she passed away, and they were showing all these garments that people were blessed by her presence because she had made all these garments for them. You may only be able to sew and make garments for people in the church, but there's a Bible example there that was a service to the body. See? So serve the body of Christ. The spirit of adoption will cause you to be tutored. And when a son is finally placed into authority, now he can do greater things. Think about it. When a son comes into authority, that doesn't mean he's not going to do anything. If the father gives him authority, he gives you authority to do something.
Right.
And what you're going to do is like what the father was doing. And we have these stages in our life, and we're coming to that, and eventually winds up in a body change. But I'm just saying that, hey, when God gives you that the authority to do something, he wants you to do something with it.
Right.
It's a purpose. And so that's when you can do things that you might have not been able to do prior as a servant in the field. See, I want you to have an expectation in this hour of where God is taking your experience. That it, you're growing, and at some place, at some point, you're hopefully daily, you're able to overcome enemies and do things every day that you weren't able to do yesterday.
Right.
Because God is, as you reciprocate, God has given you more authority. And so Jesus said, this is my last point here. Jesus said, I said a son can do things greater. Jesus said, these things that I do, and greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Now listen to what he's saying. Maybe paraphrase it like this. I'm here as the Son of God. The Father has sent me. I've been tutored. I've grown into a position. He has now told me, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm most pleased. Hear him. Now all power in heaven and earth is given to me. So I'm in this position of adopted son. And I'm fixing to go away. And I'm going to take the position of the Father, and I'm making you son. Right? I'm giving you the position I have. When I was here, I'm going to the Father. And because of that, now you're going to step into the Son. And under tutorship, you're going to do greater things. And that's just how simple it is. The scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. Right?
Right.
Amen. I hope these words encourage you. Amen.
Amen.
To believe. It is a struggle, but brothers and sisters, I believe I'm looking at sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Because you love his word. Amen.
Amen.
And you're you say, well, Brother Tony, I've not done so well coping with God's word, maybe at times in my life. Everybody can say that. There's only one who always coped well, and that was Jesus. But like Brother Daniel prayed in service, may have failed 100,000, whatever it was, however many times, just keep right on trucking, because nothing can make you not be a child of God.
Amen.
If you're a child of God. Not even, Paul said, not life, death, things present, things to come, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We have one way to go, and that's up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Up into his presence. The musicians come. We'll pray just for a moment. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are that you have shared your word with us in this day. Lord, open up these things and allow us to see these truths that we're laying there all along. And I'm asking, Lord, that you just help us grow into these things. I believe I stand among a people, Lord, that are your redeemed, that have their names on your book, Lord. And I know they go through struggles and trials, and I just pray that these words this morning will help them understand the nature of their daily battles. And so they could have confidence to know, Lord, that they belong to you. They are your child. They have a spirit in them crying, Abba, Father. Lord, that they just take courage and continue to learn and grow and become greater and greater, stronger Christians each day. Lord, keeping moving toward that high mark of the mark of God in Christ Jesus, as Paul spoke of. Lord, may we all do that. May we help one another. May we not look down our nose to one another. If we see someone struggling, may we get underneath the burden and help that person go forth, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that your spirit in us will move us each day to live your life. We know it does, Lord. I pray that you just help us to put things out that hinder so that you can have greater success in our lives, Lord. We believe we have this spirit of adoption, that you'll take us to that faithful day. But Lord, we just ask, as we battle